Hello, everyone. This is Kurt Mortensen from the Persuasion Institute. Two words for you: mood matters. Your mood, your attitude, your emotions, your thoughts, they all affect your ability to persuade. Not only does your mood affect your ability to persuade, but your audience's or prospects' mood. What mood are they in? What are they thinking? What are they feeling? What are their emotions? What are their attitudes? What is their mood? Now, we're noticing with great persuaders about their own mood. Some people think they can get in a fight with their spouse or with a coworker and go to the next room and put on a fake smile or get on the phone and pretend it really didn't matter. Your prospect will sense something. Now, they're not going to sense, oh, they just had a fight. What they're going to sense is incongruency. Something's not quite right. So we need to take a look at your mood. Great persuaders have the ability to go from a very negative mood to a positive mood in a matter of seconds. Not hours, not days or weeks like some people. And then you need to have the ability to change the mood of your prospect. That is what great persuaders do. They can take a foul, negative mood and turn it into a positive mood because mood matters. Now remember that 95% of all persuasion involves subconscious triggers. It feels right. I like this person. I don't like this person. I trust this person. And mood plays into that. Mood plays into your ability to persuade. So you have to really ask yourself as we get into this is what do your prospect or your audience, what do they really think of you? I mean, really. Now, what you think they think of you and what they think of you are really two different things. So we call the woebegone effect, where you rate yourself higher in your skills than you actually are, think you're doing better than you actually are, because that's what people expect of you and that's what you expect of yourself. So I just want you to be open to realize maybe there's some things you need to work on that you haven't even realized that are not even on your radar screen. You know we all persuade for a living. We all sell for a living. That is what we do. That is what the number one skill of the ultra prospect, the ability to persuade, influence, motivate, understand emotions, people skills, all critical. Because we all like to think we're logical people, but we're very emotional. Emotions dictate many of the things that we do. We're highly emotional. And that's important to understand as a great persuader. That's what they call emotional intelligence. Daniel Goleman wrote an incredible book called Emotional Intelligence, which talks about what he calls EQ versus IQ. That your ability to understand people and work with people and understand emotions is a greater indicator of your success and income than your general knowledge or your IQ. Great persuaders can sense that something is wrong. They sense on how to adjust their presentation. They sense the mood or the emotion that the person is in and what they need to do about it. Eventually, this will become an instinct to you. We've even seen studies at restaurants where you sit someone down to evaluate the food. When they're across the table from a very negative, pessimistic, rude person, someone that's in a bad mood, that affects the way they evaluate the food in a negative way. On the contrary, when they sit across the table at the restaurant, they're testing their food, and the person across the table is very positive, optimistic, and puts that person in a great mood, then the food evaluations go much higher. Moods, emotions are very contagious. So the question is how do you get them to catch a good mood? How do you get someone in the right mood? Because you can't fool them with that fake smile. We can tell just by your facial expression, is it a real smile? Or is it a fake smile? When you get on a bad phone call and you try to make more dials or call other people and you're still on a negative mood from a previous call, people can sense it. Or are you fighting with someone? They sense it. Get control of yourself. Get control of your income and your future. Learn how to persuade and learn how to read, how to understand, and how to change someone's emotions. So let me address your moods. You are in charge of your moods. You can decide what your attitude, your moods, your emotions, you are in charge of your body. You can decide what you're going to let and not let happen. Part of understanding what great persuaders know and go through is they have great self-discipline. As Plato said, the first and best victory is to conquer self. To be conquered by self is of all things the most shameful and vile. And when I talk about discipline, I'm talking about taking an emotion and turning it into an act, or taking a negative emotion, turning it around, and turning that into a positive act. Great persuaders know what they're thinking and feeling. They can change their emotional state. It's critical. Take responsibility for your moods, your desires, your attitudes, your emotions, and your thoughts. Understand the big picture is that your thoughts control your emotions, and your emotions, which could lead to feelings, moods, and attitudes, those control your actions. So you need to be committed and have a desire to serve your prospect. Can your prospect actually sense that commitment to them? Because as Vince Lombardi says, the quality of your life will be determined by the depth of your commitment to excellence more than any other factor. If you're not committed to your audience, to your prospect, to your patient, whoever it is, they will sense it. You are the one in charge. They can sense your attitude. Many people are like chameleons, absorbing the attitudes of other people. So really, what is your attitude? Well, think about it. Your thoughts control your emotions, and your emotions trigger your attitudes. And in your attitudes, basically a reflection of what's happening inside. And your attitude comes from your expectations. You decide it's a habit. Attitudes get reflected. You need to be in control. If you're hiding something, if you're trying to hide an emotion, if you're trying to bury a mood, they will sense it. Your mood matters. Remember, your thoughts are critical. They control your emotions and your attitudes and your feelings, which control your actions. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson said a man is what he thinks about all day long. So reality is, to fix this, we have to go back to our thoughts. Because we are a sum total of all our thoughts. And to take control of your life and your income, you must begin by taking control of your mind and your thoughts. So the key, of course, is understanding feelings, emotions, and mood. And the research is in, and it's amazed me to find that mood not only matters, it really matters. Great persuaders have mastered their ability to control their mood and increases the positivity of the mood of their audience. The mood you are in as a persuader and the mood of your audience will affect the way you persuade and influence. Understand, moods are feelings that we are usually unaware of. Most people don't even know where they come from. Moods affect our thinking, our judgment, and our willingness to say yes. We know through experience and research that when the person you are trying to persuade is in a good mood, feeling happy, they are less likely to refuse your offer. That's the bottom line. Even a simple thing like eating great food, snacks, soda, or listening to pleasant music, people were easier to persuade. And on the flip side, like I mentioned, when you try to cover up a foul mood or put on this fake happy face, your audience still is able to sense incongruency and tension. We know that our feelings and mood have a great impact on the way we think and our social judgment. It is not difficult to understand that when we are feeling happy, we tend to think happy thoughts and retrieve happy ideas and experiences from memory. When we are in a negative mood, we tend to think unhappy thoughts and to retrieve negative information from memory. Did you understand that? Did you get that? So when you get someone in a negative mood, they try to stay in a negative mood. They actually retrieve negative information and thoughts from their memory. Negative things about you and your industry. They become more skeptical. But if they're in a positive mood, or you put them into a positive, happy mood, they begin to have happy thoughts. They retrieve happy ideas. They're more optimistic about you and your product and your idea. That is the key focus of this audio. We have found that interviewers in a good mood, they tend to assign higher ratings to job applicants. Happy moods also increase creativity, and that is a critical thing for persuaders. Consumers in a good mood will be more aware of positive qualities and products and experiences that they encounter. So in the good mood, they're looking for the positive qualities. In a bad mood, they're looking for the negative qualities. People who feel happy will notice and remember happy events more than events that provoke sadness and or anger. There was a study done. This was about a restaurant review. And now this review had an equal number of positive and negative statements. Now, those who read the review while in a happy state of mind evaluated the restaurant more positively than those who read it while they were in a sour, mean, or bad mood. People in a positive mood are more susceptible to persuasion. Moods matter. Changing someone's mood for the positive is a skill that great persuaders have. When we are in a good mood, we are more willing to do a favor for others. You must learn to be ready that moods and emotions are usually reflected in the movement, facial expressions, and postures of our bodies. Our bodies will always reveal our moods, feelings, and emotional state. Then another study was done in a hotel room where the guest was not able to tell the weather. They couldn't see because of the window arrangement. When the guest ordered room service, the server would describe the weather as either cold and rainy, cold and sunny, warm and rainy, warm and sunny. And then the size of the tip was recorded by percent. It was interesting to note that the temperature had no effect. That didn't bother people. But when it was revealed to be sunny, tips increased over 26%. This is the reality. You need to be in a good mood to optimize your ability to persuade. After you have taken care of yourself, you can now help your audience increase their positive feelings and create an optimistic mood. So to review real quick, your thoughts control your emotions. Now, these emotions will trigger attitudes, moods, and feelings, which will dictate your actions. Now, emotions are a mental state that come from a judgment or an interpretation of your thoughts or events. These are often expressed physically. Now, these emotions are expressed physically, your posture, your nonverbal behavior, and your facial expressions. Now, people ask, what is the difference between emotion and mood? Well, the reality is mood lasts longer, sometimes hours or days, and they're usually a lower intensity than an emotion. Now, attitudes seem to be recorded and stored, and they occur to routine objects and things that we see. We have a preset attitude that we've learned from society, from ourselves, from osmosis, from our parents, from our beliefs. They are preset, they're recorded, and they're stored. Now, it's interesting, as I've been going over research on emotion and mood, that identifying emotion, that type of research is all over the map. But understand, emotions are critical. How people evaluate their emotions. When you're talking about your product, your service, or idea, they're looking at their actual state, and can your product or service take them to their desired state? Think about that. That's what's happening. And if they're not feeling any emotion at all, there's no personal stake there. You haven't created a want, need, or desire for your product, your service, or your idea. So I start looking into research on marketing and advertising, looking at various stimuli and persuasion and influence. They all affect consumer behavior. You look at the retail environment, we know that music, color, smells, celebrity endorsers, different type of stimuli, when those things are administered, they trigger buying responses. It's interesting when you look at advertising, there's really two type of ads. There's ads where you really have to think and ponder about. There's a lot of factual information, which would be attributes and features of the product. Then there's the feeling ads, where the concentration is placed on the experience, how we're going to feel when we own the product. You see this quite a bit in beer commercials and car commercials, not about so much the horsepower, but how the car or the drink or the clothes or the deodorant is going to make you feel. And what we're talking about today is more of the feeling side. Because positive emotions like happiness and joy are associated with going after a goal or going after something, which usually leads people to continue what they're doing. Now, on the flip side, when people feel resentment or disappointment or frustration or anxiety, those negative emotions that result from problems with their plans and failures to achieve their desired goals, different things happen. I hope you understood that. So when we're pursuing our goal and things are going right, it puts us in a great mood. But when things go against our plans, against our desired goals, that's when those negative emotions tend to appear. So when someone's in a positive mood, they evaluate stimuli. They evaluate you, your product and service, more positively than those in a very neutral or negative mood state. Study after study shows the same things. These studies have shown that those that are in a positive mood, they rate their cars and their televisions more favorably than those who are even in a neutral mood. It's interesting to note that those who are in a great mood, they use what we call heuristic processing. It's more of subconscious. They're feeling cues. They're feeling good. Versus those who are in a negative mood tend to use what we call systematic processing, where they're comparing, they're more analyzing, they're thinking more than those who are in a good mood. So let's address these emotions. I could fill a 12-CD set just on emotions and human nature and understanding emotions. Emotions are a great thing. It's what you do with them. Do you understand what your body is telling you? That's what's important about emotions. We are emotional creatures, and the more you understand about human nature and emotions, the better persuader that you will become. Now, hopefully you've heard the saying that people buy an emotion and then they rationalize their decision with logic. And that's true. We react on emotion and we justify with logic. And our emotions tend to create movement. They tend to create energy. Do you ask somebody, why did they buy that BMW? You're going to get a lot of logical reasons. Is that why they buy it? I don't know. You ask a gentleman why he bought a 10,000 square foot home by the lake and they're single. There'll be some logical reasons, but the reality is it was probably a very emotional decision. As Daniel Goleman said in his book, Emotional Intelligence, he says, understanding emotions is more pertinent to leading a successful life than having a high intelligence. Emotions are critical. They tell us what's going on inside. Emotions prepare our body. When we feel anger, there's an automatic reaction where blood tends to flow to our fists. We're getting ready to fight. We feel fear. Blood tends to run down to our legs. We get ready to run. When we feel happiness, there's changes in the brain where things don't bother us. We don't look at the critical nature of things. And even when we're surprised, what happens to our eyes and the ability to collect information? All these emotions have a reaction in our body. But be careful and understand that the emotional mind is always right and discounts any evidence to the contrary. For example, if you know someone's afraid of flying, you can be logical all day long and that's not going to help the fear. Or had a daughter that had a severe case of monsters in the closet, monsters under the bed. You can be logical. You could turn the light on. They said, well, Dad, they don't come out when the light's on, duh. But you can explain all you want. Use all the logic that you want. That is human nature. Our emotions, our minds are constantly replaying memories, guilt, fears, and those will also tend to trigger emotions. And emotions are contagious. And understand, logic will not change an emotion, but action will. I hope you got that. Logic will not change an emotion, but action will. Think about that. Because the reality is there's only two basic emotions, fear and love. I mean, under fear, you can put anger, anxiety, sadness, depression, hurt, lonely, shame, guilt. And under love, you can put happiness, joy, trust, caring, compassion, satisfaction. And as you look at these different emotions, you have to understand it's not the event. It's how we interpret it that triggers the emotions. And many of the people you're trying to persuade are stuck in what we call emotional avoidance. They're trying to bury, they're trying to suppress these emotions. They don't even know why they're in a bad or foul mood. They're not even sure why they hate you. They just do. They just feel mean, negative, and pessimistic. Because most of these people are stuck in what we call emotional avoidance, where they pretend something didn't happen in their life. They haven't addressed it. Overeating is a sign of emotional avoidance. Some signs of emotional avoidance you'll see in your prospects, your neighbors, your family, your friends, your audience. They'll pretend something didn't happen. Overeating, drugs, alcohol, TV, working too much, quick to anger, depression are all signs that people aren't addressing the emotions that they're feeling. And successful people, successful persuaders, they have mastered their emotions. They know exactly what it means. When they feel an emotion, they acknowledge it. They trust that it's telling them something. They identify, okay, what emotion is this? Why am I feeling anger, fear, resentment, or frustration? What is the message? And they take care of it. They don't bury it. One emotion that's critical to your success is the emotion of happiness, not only for yourself, but for your prospects and the people that you talk to. Happiness comes from within. Most people aren't happy, and they really don't know why. And if you think about happiness, most people aren't happy when they have no sense of control in their life. They aren't happy when they don't have any meaningful goals, or they're not moving towards something that excites them. They're probably working for somebody else's goals. Another reason we aren't happy is we have conflicting goals in our life, things that we want to accomplish, things we want to do, but they conflict. You want to be an entrepreneur, but you like job security. We could go all day. You have to increase the happiness, not only in yourself, but the people you talk to. And as Viktor Frankl said, happiness is a condition rather than a destination. Happiness cannot be pursued. The more we aim at happiness, the more we miss our aim. It is a side effect of having a purpose and meaning to life. Or you might encounter someone who's stuck on worry. What does that mean? Well, if they're worried about something, they're anxious, they're uneasy, they're concerned. They're worried about something that's happening right now or something that could happen in the future. The reality is, understand that worry comes from indecision. Worry diminishes with decision. Bring them back to reality and help them make a decision. Or things like frustration. Why are they frustrated? What does that mean? Well, frustration comes from an unmet expectation. Maybe they thought you could do better. You need to change their expectation or their standard. Or maybe they're feeling resentment, which comes from the word sentir, which means to feel. They're refeeling, they're rehashing something that's happened in the past, and all those feelings are coming back to them from that event that they're rehashing in their mind, that they're refeeling. Then one is anger. Now, that's one we need to address. Anger is a secondary emotion. What does that mean? It means the thing that they're yelling at you about, a thing that they're mad about, is usually secondary. Something else has happened. When someone's angry, something's askew. You have to find the key issue. You have to do some things to find out what that anger is. Now, there's a difference between anger and dissatisfaction. I need to address that. There's a difference. If you're dealing with customer service or dealing with any type of prospect or patient or person, there are differences. See, a lot of people, when there's dissatisfaction and anger, they treat them the same, and that's the worst thing you can do. See, when someone's dissatisfied, they're usually pretty passive. Now, angry people tend to complain. They will come after you. When people are dissatisfied with you, your product or service, they're usually more passive, and they rarely come back to complain to you. Angry people feel that they've been wronged. There's an element of blame. They are looking for someone to blame. Versus dissatisfaction, they're feeling unfulfilled or they missed out. There's a missing piece. So dissatisfied people, they're looking for information. What do they miss out on? What is the response? They're looking for why it happened. They're not necessarily angry at you, but they are dissatisfied. Now, angry people, they want to get back at someone. They want to hurt somebody. The angry people are less likely to purchase from you. They are ready to blame somebody. Somebody needs to take responsibility for their anger. Two very different emotions that often get confused. Another major emotion we need to address is fear. Now, what's fear? Well, there are many definitions out there. One could be anxiety or tension caused by danger or apprehension. Now, fear could be real or can be imagined. And fear comes from society, experience, parents, or worry. Most of the fears we have, almost all the fears we have been learned. And you need to understand, where did they come from? How did they learn those? Why do they think and feel that way? Why are they so scared? What are they afraid of? Find out, what are their triggers? Why are they afraid to speak in public? There's always some type of event where people laughed at them, they tripped on stage, their fly was open, all these different things. Look at control their voices, and sometimes it's as simple as looking fear in the face. Fear is a critical thing. And understanding, if you're going to use fear, or your prospect is feeling fear, you really need to understand this emotion. Because if you scare someone too much, if you crank up that fear and it's not realistic, it will backfire on you. Many of these things with teenagers, with drugs and alcohol and driving, they try to scare people so much that it backfires. Is it okay to use fear? Well, sure. Is it okay for your dentist to say only floss the teeth you want to keep? I think so. So if you are going to use fear, make sure it's something that's unpleasant to them. But it needs to be realistic, something they feel that could happen to them. That's the challenge with teenagers, is it's never going to happen to them. It's always going to happen to someone else. It's not realistic or unpleasant enough. And it's not imminent, meaning they don't think it's going to happen to them right away. They don't have to worry about quit smoking for 20, 30, 40 years down the road. And by then, they're going to have a cure for cancer anyway. And of course, provide a solution and make sure they're capable of doing what you're asking them to do. Fear. Understand these moods, these triggers, these emotions. Again, I can't reiterate this enough. The more you understand yourself, your moods, your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts, the more you understand about human nature, and the better you will become at persuasion. That's the bottom line. How can you connect with people? Work on your people skills. Oh, and you think, well, I'm doing pretty well there. Studies show that you aren't. And people skills go well beyond Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a great start, but people skills goes much further than that. Learning to develop rapport, learning to mirror and match. One that's incredible, you need to understand the impact of humor. You want to change moods, you introduce humor. Now, understand, when you introduce humor, two things are going to happen. They're either going to laugh with you and like you, or they're going to feel sorry for you because your humor bombed, okay? But humor, we're noticing through research, creates a positive environment. It increases participation, it becomes memorable, and increases your likability, and it changes their mood almost instantly. You get someone to smile, to laugh. Wow. You're on your road becoming a great persuader. It is a critical skill. It could be a joke, a story, embarrassing moment, exaggeration, any of those things. But make sure they work. Make sure you know your audience. Those are the critical things. Make sure you understand the law of esteem, one of the 12 laws of persuasion and maximum influence. Understand the law of esteem, that people are craving for attention. that self-esteem is at an all-time low. They want to be accepted. They want praise and attention. Understand the ego. Those will be very helpful to you as you become a great persuader. Knowing that the way you persuade a man versus a woman sometimes is very, very different, especially when you talk about esteem or praise or ego. Two very, very different things. And as we talk about esteem and ego, understand that affects their moods. Understanding, be able to sense that they have a low self-esteem. And the majority of the people do. In fact, let me put it this way. Everyone has low self-esteem, at least in some aspect of their life. Is it in a swimsuit? Is it speaking in public? Is it your ability to persuade? What is it? And if you can help someone feel better about themselves, helping them feel more capable of what you're asking them to do, they feel better about themselves, puts them in a positive mood state. Because when someone has a low self-esteem, you'll see things like aggressiveness, or they'll gossip. They'll tend to have a lot of resentment and criticize others. They'll be very defensive. They'll tend to procrastinate, and they can't even accept compliments. So your job is to make them feel better about themselves, to enhance their ego, to understand high self-esteem. When people have good self-esteem, they're happy. They're pleasant to be around. They're generous. They're upbeat. They're open-minded. Wow. And when you look at praise, people are so hungry for praise. Even when you give false praise and they know that it's fake, it still works. I'm not telling you to go out and do that. Make it sincere, make it genuine, make it positive. But that's how hungry people are for praise. Even with children, they'll do anything for some type of attention, even if it's negative attention. But we don't want to go down that track. Understand that praise is free. It changes moods. It boosts self-esteem. It releases energies. It has such a powerful effect on people. So understand how to work with people. Understand how to customize yourself and let the prospect or your audience dictate the presentation. I've said this time and time again, that if the only persuasive tool in your toolbox is a hammer, you treat everyone like a nail. So when you go into a situation and you have your prospect or your audience dictate your presentation. So if you're going into someone that's feeling pretty hostile towards you or your product or service, you have to understand. Find common beliefs. Humor works well in the situation. Don't start attacking them. Do your homework. Understand that their attacks aren't going to get to you. Why do people attack you? Why do people heckle you? They want a reaction. Don't give it to them. Or if you're talking to someone that's indifferent, you need to go back to the benefits. You need to point out the downside of not using your product or your service. Indifferent audiences need stories. And stay away from complex arguments, statistics, facts, and figures with an indifferent audience. Now, what if they're uninformed? Well, encourage questions, quote the experts, stress your credibility, keep the message interesting. And if you see they're starting to support you, you want to increase their energy and enthusiasm. You want to prepare them for maybe future attacks or people that'll go against or say negative things about you, your product, your service, your idea, or your message. Get them to take action. Use testimonials. It works so well. And I could go all day on this. I love this type of information. It makes such a big difference in my life, in your life, people we coach and train, understanding human nature. There's really very few manuals. But you need to understand, what is your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings, your moods telling you? And remember, it all comes back to your thoughts. Your thoughts control your emotions. Your emotions will trigger those attitudes, those moods, and those feelings, and it all comes back to your actions. Learn to understand yourself, learn to understand human nature, and you will learn to persuade with great power, conviction, and authority. Not only become an unstoppable persuader, but you'll be able to increase your income and make the world a better place.